Today we are in Matthew chapter 6. If you have a Bible or a device that you use to read Scripture, I invite you to open it or turn it on. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to start reading in verse 19. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I probably already told you to an obnoxious degree how much I love spring. But if you were driving to church today and didn't get a little bit excited as you saw there on Overton Road at Brookwood Baptist, there's pink starting to emerge on the trees. Things are starting to grow in my front yard. The dormant grass is giving way to green grass, which means, in kind of a strange way that only comes with age, I'm sure, I'm excited about cutting my grass again. Now, talk to me in August, and I'll be like, please let it go dormant. But now, like, I'm in this season, and in March, it's March now, if you didn't realize that, it's March the 2nd. One of my good friends, who I probably text too much about lawn care, says that this is the time of the year where I need to kind of cut it real short. I need to get all that dormant grass out of there so that the healthy grass that's coming can emerge. And one of the important things about yard work is that you use the correct fuel for the right implement. Okay? In my garage, I have two containers at least of gas. One of them is very large. It's just the gas that you get out of the gas pump, okay? It's just the one where you go to the pump, you stick it in, you fill it up. And the other, which is smaller, kind of by design, is a mix, right? So it has gas and it has two-cycle engine oil. If you're like, Wayne, how does a two-cycle engine work? I have no idea. All I know is that I'm supposed to put that mix in my weed eater and in my blower. I'm supposed to put the other gas in the lawnmower. And as long as I keep those two things separate, I'm good. And there is kind of this principle that whatever the engine is designed to run on is what it needs as fuel, right? And as long as I keep the right fuel in the right engine, then we should be good. And there's a spiritual principle there that all of us, we're running on something. But there is something that we're putting in our heads and our hearts that kind of, for us, helps us understand reality at the most fundamental level. And however it is that we see the world and move through the world, it's going to impact whether or not we experience the abundance of God's blessings like we would like to. And one of the most foundational things for us as followers of Jesus, and really has been foundational since God has begun this work of calling into existence a people for his own possession, is trust. That if you and I trust God with whatever it is that's before us next, right, then you and I have an opportunity to live in such a way that we experience God's blessings. But if we decide that we're going to misplace our trust, right, and we're going to trust in popularity, or we're going to trust in our own smarts or wisdom, or we're going to trust in anything other than God, even money, then you and I are going to be filled with a certain amount of anxiety, because none of those things is worthy to deliver on the promises that they make to us, right? And so I think Jesus' words come to us in a real pastoral way this morning. Like, I've always read these verses and been kind of like, felt more like prophetic, or like a preacher kind of getting in my business and kind of turning my life upside down in like a bad way. And as I've read these verses this week, it feels much more like Jesus coming to me in a very kind way and kind of helping me understand what it is that's going to allow me to experience the abundant life that he would have for me to know. And he does not want me to go through life with a misplaced hope or a misplaced trust. and all the anxiety that comes with living that way. So Jesus says in Matthew 6, do not lay up for yourselves or store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why not? Why not? Because those treasures are where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal. And kind of the point is that they're uncertain, right? That you can have them in abundance at a certain point in your life, but if you don't take care of them, or if someone who's stronger or smarter or more powerful than you, they can take them from you. So there's a certain amount of anxiety that goes along with those kinds of possessions. We don't have to think hard to kind of see the reality of that. Think about your material possessions and then remind yourselves of 2008 and 2009. Right? I have a little app on my phone that kind of tracks my retirement investments for me. And you can go back in that and it's like, right? We here at this church, we were going to build something right around 2008 and 2009. Mary and I had just come on to staff. We were like seeing some new plans, exciting ideas. And the next thing we know, nope, we're not doing that. Right? We didn't think we had the resources that would make it possible to do that. There is this uncertainty that is attached to material possessions that you and I, if we think that that's the source of our strength and our hope, there's going to be a certain attitude of our heart and our mind where we're like, we got to protect this. We got to make sure that we don't lose this. Then, and this part that Jesus is going to kind of challenge us on of giving it away to others would be nonsensical to us in that kind of environment. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. And so Jesus, in a really pastoral way, I think, is offering us kind of wisdom and insight on where it is that we ought to place our hope for treasures or rewards, and it is in the life to come. That there is a certain part of the Christian life that is deferment. That we make these eternal investments in the kingdom of heaven. Some of them we get to see come to fruition here in this life, but many of them we will not see come to fruition until we are in the new heavens and the new earth with Him. And that requires a certain amount of what? Faith, right? Requires you to believe in something that you cannot see, in some experience that's out there in the future that is not like, you can't kind of say, here it is today, I'm going to give it back to you tomorrow. There is this kind of eternal perspective that you and I have to move out in faith and trust that God is going to make good on His word for us. And then why is this important that you store up for yourselves treasures in heaven and not on earth? Because where your treasure is, there is where your what will be? Your heart. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And you might think about the heart as kind of that most fundamental part of our human makeup. Like it's the kind of core of who we are. It's our emotions, our joys, our highs, our lows. It is kind of how we see the world. Wherever our treasure is, that's where our heart is going to be also. And so you and I, we're going to feel very conflicted and pulled in different directions if Jesus is coming into our lives and He's saying, hey, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven because they're secure and eternal and there for you. Don't store up for yourselves treasures here on earth because your treasures are linked to your heart. And at the end of the day, the most kind of important part of who you are and what God desires more than anything is your heart. It's a beautiful psalm that the psalmist says that the Lord's like this, that He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, that everything in all creation is His, and if He was hungry, He wouldn't ask you for anything. Right? That everything ultimately belongs to Him, and what's happening in our hearts as we steward the resources He's entrusted to us is whether or not it is that we trust Him with our lives. Right? So He says, don't store up for yourself treasures here, store it up in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And in verse 22, there are these great verses that you're kind of reading them and you're like, what in the world are you talking about, Jesus? The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Like if you and I do not have the ability to see the reality of where our eternal hope is, then we're going to misplace it. I kind of think of it as a mirage in the desert. Just out of curiosity's sake, has anyone ever been in the desert and seen a mirage? Oh, the two of you, sometime this week, I would love to hear about it, right? Is anybody on this side? My word, I've lived such a sheltered, boring life. I've only seen this in movies, right? Where some like weary person is making their way through the desert and they think that they see like an oasis or something up there, right? They think that they see water that's going to sustain them and meet the desires of their heart in that moment. And they get there and it's just like, it's a sham, right? It's not what they thought it would be, right? And so many times for us, like as we make our way through life, you and I are going to find so many things that promise to meet the desires of our heart, and then we're going to get there, and it's not going to make good on the promise that it's making. Right? And so Jesus is saying it's vitally important that you and I are able to see rightly, to see what it is will satisfy the desires of our heart, to see what's worth the investment of our lives and where it is that we place our security and our hope, because all of our life ultimately depends on that. And if you skip to the next verses in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is saying, don't be what? Anxious. If you want to preach a sermon and then leave afterwards and have people come by and say, wow, that sermon was just for me, preach a sermon on being anxious about things. Right? It's like the human condition to be anxious, right? And really to be anxious if we misplace our hope in what ultimately will satisfy or deliver us, right? And so Jesus is here trying to zone in kind of that most fundamental part of our hearts and where it is that we place our trust. So he says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and to despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And some of us we're kind of trying to do that. We're trying to serve God and some other false idol or would-be savior in our lives. And we're trying to hold those two things together. And Jesus is coming to us in a really kind, I think, and pastoral way and saying, it's not possible. That this approach to life that you're trying to hold these two things together really will not satisfy the desires of your heart. And all it's going to do ultimately is leave you anxious. There's a part of you that you can't live into God's call upon your life faithfully and experiencing the blessing that he promises us and then be a source of that blessing to others if our hope and our trust is not ultimately placed in the Lord. Because there are going to be all these things that come at us that if you and I are anxious about our possessions, and if kind of our approach is that if we get more of them, then we will do what? Build bigger barns, Jesus says, and store more of them. Are you all not blown away and fascinated by the amount of self-storage places that there are in Birmingham? Last Sunday, I was down at Milo's eating really healthy, gluten-free, wonderful meal. Non-GMO ingredients, right? And I was looking across the street, right? And there was this, I was just struck again. I was like, every large building that ends up getting sold, people buy it and they sell more storage. There is this inclination of our hearts to just like keep storing and storing more stuff, in part because there's a fear of scarcity and we think if we get enough, then we will finally be secure. And here's the point. There's never going to be what? Enough. You're never going to ultimately hit that magic point where you're like, okay, now I'm secure. Or if you do, it'd be like that parable that Jesus told about the guy that built the bigger barns. And he goes home and he's like, all right, now we're good. We're safe, we're secure. And he learns what? That very night, what's going to happen to him? He's going to die. And then who's going to get all this stuff that you spent all your life storing up and acquiring and thinking that that's your source of hope? And so Jesus is trying to help us to not misplace our hope and our trust in something of this world that is so fickle. And he's trying to get us to understand that he is the only source of our hope and comfort and joy and peace in this life, right? We can't serve him and some other, in this case money, thing that would be our Savior because it's so uncertain. I was at the ball field yesterday. You're like, yeah, of course you were, because it's spring. I started out the day at May's softball game, where if you want to tie in joy in sports, go to May's softball game, because everybody's very encouraging and happy. Nothing is at stake at all, except for how cute we look, right? Nothing. And then that afternoon, I went to Spain Park for a doubleheader. You should say, my condolences to you, sir. Right? It's a long time to sit outside, like a long time, and it's sunny and it's breezy. But there was this moment where I kind of looked back, and again, May comes into the story because May's riding a scooter. Right? And May's made like several trips down the sidewalk and back, and she's coming back toward me, and I just happened to see her because I had to get up and stretch, and you know, I had to keep myself engaged at this point. And I looked out, and May was coming back, and there was just kind of this moment where I saw May where it was like, it seems to me as if everything is right in May's world currently. Like, she is at peace. It's sunny, it's beautiful, she has no thought of danger, she has no thought of anybody not providing for her. Like, she knows she's going to get in the car and go home and have dinner. She knows, like, at that moment, there was just this beautiful picture of her being at peace. And if I'm being honest with you, I was a little bit jealous of May. Right? As I looked at May, right, I was like, oh, like, that's what I want. Right? That's what my heart desires in life. But I get so anxious and distracted, and I'm pulled in a thousand different directions about a thousand different things, and I miss sight of like this beauty of trusting in God my Father that He will provide for my needs, right? And just moving out into the Christian life, pursuing obedience, trusting that He is present and that He will provide for me. And then things like 2 Corinthians kind of start making sense to me in chapter 9 when Paul is talking about giving. He says, here's the thing about giving or stewarding your money. God doesn't want your gifts if you're giving them begrudgingly. Isn't that beautiful? He loves what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. And the only way that you and I cheerfully part with the resources that He has entrusted to us, if there's this belief that whatever we give up, ultimately our hope and our joy are not tied to those things. But our hope and our joy is tied to the assurance of our Heavenly Father's presence in our life and His provision for us. And so then we're freed up to steward those things. And at some point in your life, I don't know when it will be, if it hasn't happened yet, you're going to be forced to understand where you're going to place your trust and your hope. At some point. At some point, if Jesus doesn't come back before this, and you live to be old enough, it may be that you are aware of your mortality there at the end, and at some point you're going to have to trust in God to provide for you. And there is this most freeing thought that comes to my mind. Like I catch glimpses of it if it's seeing perfect trust in someone else like May, or in those little moments where God, by His grace and His Spirit, is moving my heart to trust Him more, that my joy does increase as my trust in God increases, right? And I just take this deep breath, and I kind of just relax and understand that ultimately everything is not up to me. And it's going to cause you, here's the thing, it's going to cause you to look a little bit foolish from time to time. As people come into your life and they're like, hey, that's kind of naive. You're really going to place your trust in the Lord? Why are you not doing this? Or why do you not have this backup? This is what marketers are so good at. If you'll just do this, then this will be your experience in life. If you just have this much money saved up, then you're going to be able to live and retire and sell on a yacht or something, right? There's this like, kind of this thing that they're selling us, that ultimately they're selling us misplaced hope in something that can't deliver. And Jesus, from time to time, comes into our lives and he kind of gives us the either-or option. Either you can serve him or you can serve stuff, but you can't serve both. Right? And when he comes to us like that, it's not because he's mean and mad, right? It's because he's offering us more abundant life through faith in him, more of what our hearts desire. So I'm praying for myself, praying for you, that we increasingly place our hope and our trust in God. We believe that he's present, that he's going to provide, that he's faithful. And whatever it is that he calls us to, even if it looks like craziness to us, we're going to step into that, trusting that that's where eternal, abundant life is found. I invite you to pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us enough to not allow us to go through life really miserable, misplacing our hope and our trust in things that can't deliver, in idols or false gods that will not satisfy. And so, Lord, we pray that you would free us up to believe and to understand that you are present and that you are with us and that you will provide for our every need. As we look back over our own testimonies, Lord, we are reminded that it wasn't our own wisdom or skill or ability that brought us to this point, but it's your grace and your mercy at every point along the way. And as we look forward, Lord, the same will be true. So we pray that you would help us trust you. You would help us. You would forgive us for the places where we misplace our trust and our hope. And that you would use us to help others see and understand where abundant life is found in you. And we offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, if you haven't noticed, we have a different order of worship this morning. Some of you even sat down when you weren't supposed to. It's okay. It's new. We're all kind of trying out things here. And one of the things we're going to do is just kind of respond a bit differently. So we're going to give you some time to reflect on what you've heard. And kind of questions, you know, what do I learn about God in this passage? What am I learning about the Lord? And what am I going to do about it? Which I think is a good question to ask ourselves, because we can kind of get in the habit of just kind of going to church and then we leave and forget that there's a certain transformation process that ought to happen as a part of being involved in worship. And so we're going to give you a few minutes to reflect, or maybe a minute to reflect on those questions. What's God teaching me? What am I going to do about it? And then after that, we're going to sing the closing song together. And if you feel like God's calling you to come forward and to profess your faith in Christ for the first time, or to unite with us as a church and be a member, I'll be at the front to receive you. So I invite you to join me as we respond.